Today on Hands on Tech, I have a camera from Panasonic, the Lumix S5. Is this a bigger brother of the GH5, or is this the younger brother or better version of the S1H? Ooh, we're going to talk about that. Hands on Tech is brought to you from LastPass Studios. Using the same password everywhere is a security nightmare waiting to happen. LastPass easily creates unique passwords for every site. Visit LastPass.com/twit.
This is Twit.
This episode of Hands on Tech is brought to you by IT Pro TV. If you're looking to expand your IT career, you need IT Pro TV. Visit itpro.tv/twit for an additional 30% off all consumer subscriptions for the lifetime of your active subscription. Use code TWIT30 at checkout. Hey, what's going on, everybody? I am Matt Pruitt, and this is Hands on Tech. I hope y'all are doing well. I am unbelievable as always. I'm really excited to sit down and chat with you all today and share with you my experience with the Panasonic Lumix S5 mirrorless, full-frame mirrorless, that is, camera. This camera was lent to me from the folks at Adorama. I'll put a link in our show description, linking over to this camera, so you'll be able to check it out for yourself and see the pricing and all of that good stuff. But more on all of that momentarily. Let me tell you a little bit about this camera. There's a couple things to consider when it's time to get yourself a camera, whether you're going to do an upgrade or whether you're just buying your first camera. And in this case, this is an interesting, bit of tech from the folks at Panasonic. You have to look at the photography capabilities. You look at the video capabilities. And then nowadays you might want to look at it from the aspect of vlogging as well as live streaming and doing video conferencing. So there's a lot of things to consider now, but fortunately the technology across the board is getting so much better, not just from Panasonic, but pretty much from all of the camera manufacturers. But we're going to talk about the S5 today. So let me give you a quick rundown of the tech specs. This is a 24 megapixel full frame camera, allowing you to shoot in 4K 60 frames per second, as well as shooting in high speed 1080p up to 180 frames per second. Now, with it being in full frame, you get in a 3:2 aspect ratio from your photography standpoint, but you can also shoot video or shoot photos in a 16:9 aspect ratio. It just depends on what you want to do. You get dual SD card slots on this camera body, which is a good thing because you can do redundant recording to those SD cards. Unfortunately, one of those SD card slots is a UHS 2 format, but the other one is a UHS 1. So one card slot is a little bit faster on the read-write on versus the other card slot. It's not the best of ideas, but it's better than just having one SD card slot on your camera. You do get in-body stabilization, or IBIS, which is really, really popular nowadays when you talk about the other DSLR and mirrorless cameras of today from the likes of Sony and Canon and Nikon. And this IBIS really does help when it comes to shooting photos too, not just worrying about making sure your video is nice and stable. You also get a full headphone jack on the side, just in case you want to monitor your audio while you're recording video. You get a USB-C jack on the side for plugging in a USB-C cable to charge up your camera while it's just sitting on your desk, if you want to use it as a webcam, or just plug it in when you're just sitting at the end of the day, letting it charge up. You don't necessarily have to take the battery out to charge the battery, but this is a nice bonus if you don't feel like doing all of that. Speaking of the battery, you get about 2200 milliamp hours battery, and it's plenty of power for the use cases that I've been doing here over the last couple of weeks with this device. Back to the video perspective of it quickly with the spec sides. Again, I said you can shoot in 4K 60 frames per second, but the key on this is a couple things. You can shoot in 10-bit, or you can shoot in Vlog or HLG for high dynamic range, all in body on this camera. Now, in the future, Panasonic is going to offer a firmware upgrade that's going to allow you to shoot in 5K Externally, though, you have to be able to use the micro HDMI port on the side of it and connect it to an external recorder, and it still will allow you to record an even higher resolution for your video. It's pretty nice that they're able to do that on this type of camera. This is a middle of the road, mid-range prosumer, if you will, camera body. This is not a beginner's camera, and it's not a pro line, but it's the middle of the road, and it's offering quite a bit of the same specs that you're going to get from the upper echelon of the Canon S1H, which we showed that off back at CES 2020. Let's go ahead and take a look at some real world items that I felt are pretty important in the photography aspect of this. So let's take a look at this image. This is just a standard sunrise shot that I went to get one morning. And whenever you're dealing with camera technology of today, you're going to always wonder about the high dynamic range. I've talked about HDR and high dynamic range on Hands-On Photography. Be sure to check that episode out to get a further explanation. But the key with this HDR technology is, how much can I recover from down here in the shadows? Can I pull up the details? And how much of the highlights can I recover? So right here, I purposely shot facing the sun because I wanted to see how I could get this fairway to look. So I'm going to pull the shadows up here in Lightroom, and I'm going to pull the exposure up just a touch. And as you look at this, this is the raw photo. So you're getting a lot of data to play with, and I'm able to recover those shadows. You can see the grass is actually green when I shot this, it was all dark and black. So from a HDR standpoint, they have really, really improved on this standpoint, and it looks really, really good. Now, so let's take a look at this image. This is a studio session. Then I played around with my son, the hardhead, the youngest hardhead. And granted, I have ample lights here. I could use a speed light. I can use a monolight. I have plenty of light to make this work for me. And that's the thing with this. If you have decent lights, this is a nice camera for studio shots and portraits and things of that nature. And this is all unedited. I haven't touched it or anything. Zoom in on it, and you can see that this thing is really, really sharp. The focus on it is outstanding. Now, the talk about Panasonic and its autofocus has always been a little bit of not so good, but I'm just standing here with a model just doing a regular portrait shot, so the focus was easy to lock on and just grab everything that I needed him to grab. And of course, when you're shooting portraits, you want those eyes to be nice and sharp, and in this example, it nailed it. Exposure looks pretty good. Again, the details on the face, even down to just a little simple skin imperfections that a teenager would have at that point in their life. Another example was here. This is another shot, just changed the angle of it. And again, the lighting works for this, and it makes the camera's job a little bit easier. But again, take a look at the details. This is a black shirt, and I'm able to see fine details in the fabric and the little fuzz, and everything is just really, really sharp. So I got to give them kudos. So far, this camera is outstanding for using it for photography. Now, let's get back again to just looking at the whole aspect about autofocus. So when we talked about autofocus, you think about the fact that your objects are going to be moving in the frame. So you want to make sure you're able to lock in when you're trying to snap the shot, especially if they're just walking around or if there's someone on a bike and you're just trying to get the shot for street photography or things like that. So you need that continuous autofocus to be quick. Now, regardless of the camera, whether it's the S5 or my Canon behind me or some other super duper fancy camera that's out there, focus is not going to be easy for the camera because of physics. As your subject moves closer to the lens, the focus is going to have to work a little bit harder, such as right now as I'm showing my hand and I move away and it has to think about it and lock on and find the subject. That's a little bit of work. So if you're dealing with going side to side, it's a little bit easier to get your continuous autofocus to work. When they're coming forward towards your lens, that's a bit more of a challenge. And in the instance of the S5, It does really well with this autofocus going side to side. Not so much as the subject comes closer and nearer, further from the frame. So let me show you a couple of examples over here. Now, these are some images that were shot in low light. That's another challenge, shot in low light. And this is part of him doing some of his workout in football because he's a quarterback. So I had him do a simple rollout at full speed. I wanted him to get it a full speed sprint just to make sure I can catch up with him. And I got to tell you, it didn't do terribly bad because we were going side to side. So let's see. This is one shot, two, three, four, five shots. All right. Now, of those five shots, three of them were fair. That one's in focus. That's one of five, two, nope, three. Yeah, so that's two of the five shots, three of the five shots, not so good, and that's okay. So three out of five were pretty good with getting the focus lock, even with being in low light, and even with right now in this final frame where it changed the exposure because he went into the sun out of the shade, and the camera still did what it needed to do. From a quality standpoint, zoom in, not bad. Not bad. Now, granted, this is being shot with its kit lens. It's a 20 to 60 millimeter kit lens. More on that momentarily. It is a f3.5 to f5.6 aperture. Yeah, it's not the best, but it'll do for this here. All right. So now let's go to more into a low light setting as the sun was starting to set. So it's going to be a bit of a challenge getting your exposure just right. And this looks pretty good. He's moving towards me again. This one failed to focus. Looks good there again. Okay. Yeah, not bad. So again, we're getting about, you know, three out of five in focus. And this is shooting at a high frame rate burst mode, which is with a continuous autofocus. You can shoot it at 5 frames per second. If you do it with single autofocus, it's only going to give you 7 frames per second in high speed. So still not the best specs if you want to go out and shoot sports, but it is capable as long as you understand the limits of the camera. Lastly, let's get a little bit further in the daylight. It's starting to go away. The focus points again looks pretty good. My other son is running. Shutter speed is pretty good and locking him up and keeping him nice and sharp. And the focus is still hunting and hunting and hunting, and it finds him here. Loses him a little bit there, and it finds him again. So again, just understand the capabilities of it. Now, from a photography standpoint, this camera is legit. It's legit. I think it's been getting a lot of bad press about it. But if you're looking for something that's really going to take some nice photos, if you get an L mount lens, I don't necessarily say this kit lens is the way to go, but probably if you had a better prime lens on this, this is going to crush it from a photography standpoint. Now, after we take our break, I'm going to get more into video discussions, but right now, let's take a second to thank this week's sponsor. This episode of Hands on Tech is brought to you by IT Pro TV. Whether you are a manager of an IT team or an individual looking for more IT skills, IT Pro TV has the professional training you're looking for. IT Pro TV is focusing on Cert Nexus certifications for November. Learn more about getting certified as a CyberSec first responder, a cybersecure coder, or a certified Internet of Things practitioner. Go to itpro.tv/twit and use code TWIT30 to receive 30% off all consumer subscriptions for the lifetime of your active subscription. That's itpro.tv/twit and use code TWIT30. IT Pro TV. Build or expand your IT career and enjoy the journey. Okay, so we're back. Now, before we get into the video aspects of it, I wanted to show you the actual camera body in comparison to another camera. So right now I have an APS-C Canon camera right here on the right. And on the left, this is the S5. And again, you can see from a size standpoint, it's pretty small. It's not as big and clunky as the S1H, their flagship camera, but it's not terribly small. APS-C cameras are a little too small for me. I mean, I use this camera. It's still a joy to use, but I'd rather have something a little bit bigger and that feels a little bit more substantial in my hands. But this one, this is their mirrorless, and this is something that I fought with in the mirrorless world forever, was they always felt too small. This one gets it right. They give you a deeper grip to make it feel a little bit better in the hands. Now, I also enjoyed the dials on the top of this. This is perfect. Everything is easy to get to, and there's a dedicated record button for video. Even has a joystick on the back to help you with getting that autofocus locked in on your subject. It's going to take a lot of practice, but this is still nicely designed. I do enjoy the way this camera feels in the hands in comparison to some of those other mirrorless cameras out there. I think this one gets it right, just like the Sony A7 R4 gets it right from an ergonomics standpoint. Now, video. Video could be quite interesting. You have the vlogging standpoint of video, and then you have the, you know, sort of movie cinematic standpoint of it. I've tried a couple. From a vlogging standpoint, I decided to just, hey, let's shoot some footage of me going out to get ready to shoot the sunrise here, those photos that I just showed you. So what I wanted to do was put it in as harsh situations as I possibly could so I could test the dynamic range, shooting in low light, shooting in brighter lights, be able to test the stabilization because you're walking around. Does this thing stabilize as it should? And spoiler alert, it's okay. It's not great. It's okay. But I have some vlogging footage. Let's go ahead and take a look at that. So I'm up a little bit early because I want to go out and get some sunrise footage here near at the local golf course. And I wanted to set up this video to be shot in HOG for HDR format, 4K. 422 10-bit HDR, that is. And I'm curious to see how it's going to look with the dynamic range, because right now, as you can see, I'm backlit and my face is dark, but I'm curious to see how much I can lift up in post to make my face look a little bit better, as well as go outside when it's low light and see how this is going to perform. One thing I don't like about it is you're shooting in 4K, but you have about a 1.3 crop on your framing, so I have to really hold this out to be able to get myself in the frame the way that I like to look at it. Now in 1080p, you're able to use the full sensor, but when you're shooting in 4K, you have to shoot it at a APS-C sensor size. I think that's a little, not too good for a camera that's going to cost you about $2,000. Okay, so I've made it out here, and this is going to give me the opportunity to test a couple things. First off, the audio. Well, I decided that I'm not going to use the internal mic because people that are using these cameras for videos are probably aware that they should use some sort of external mic. So I have an external mic plugged in, and this is going to sound a lot better than the internal mic. I guarantee it. I'll put a link in the show notes so you can check out the mic that we are using. But this also gives me the opportunity to check out two more things. The stabilization, because this does have in-body stabilization, and the autofocus capabilities. That's something that's not so good. I gotta tell you, I'm out here with the sunlight coming in directly on my face. I'm not backlit this time, and I should have pretty decent contrast, but this thing is struggling to keep me in focus. Panasonic has had a history, unfortunately, of having autofocus problems. They have beautiful picture, but they definitely have had issues with autofocus. And right now, I'm still seeing a little bit of their bad history. They claim that their autofocus has improved, but how good is this? Let's go ahead and try to get this shot set up and see if we can get something nice and pretty from the sunrise. Okay, so now that we have our vlogging footage out of the way, let's take a look at the aspect of shooting just a standard short film or just something quick and dirty for social media or YouTube. This camera, the S5, is totally capable of shooting this. Because you have that capability of shooting in HLG or Vlog, you get all the extra flexibility to properly color grade and just make your images look great. But you have the different formats as far as being 4K 10-bit. You have the slow motion options. Everything is right there built into this. You just have to understand how to use this tool to make it work for your story. And quite frankly, this does. This does a good job on it. My only beef is the autofocus. Depending on what you're doing, the autofocus can really sort of get in the way. If you're going to shoot slow-mo, the autofocus is disabled. You need to manually focus it. And that's okay because it has focus peaking and it makes it a little bit easier for you when you're doing slow-mo footage. But I decided to do something for my hard-headed boys from a cinematic standpoint, and we had some fun shooting it. So let's go ahead and check that out. Okay, so that is going to do it. That is my thoughts and my review of the Lumix S5 from Panasonic, the four-frame mirrorless camera that is the middle-of-the-road prosumer camera out there for you. You can get this device online right now from the folks at Adorama for $19.97, and that is just the body only. But if you want to get this kit lens, the 20 to 60 millimeter kit lens, you can get that one for right at $2,300 for that whole package. I think this is a quite capable camera for pretty much anybody to use that's trying to get into photography and also step up their video game. I would recommend looking at another lens, maybe some sort of a prime lens. There's plenty out there available with the L mount compatibility, and there's also adapters that work well with the L mount. But this is a highly capable device. I really did enjoy my time with it. It actually felt good to shoot with it, so it really made this an enjoyable experience for me. I thank you all for watching this week's episode of Hands on Tech. And again, I want to thank the folks at Adorama for lending this on over to me, and I appreciate them supporting the show. All right, folks, that is going to do it for this week's episode of Hands on Tech. Thank you so much for watching. You all safely create and dominate.
Keep up with all the hottest tech news and gadgets. Visit twit.tv. There you'll be able to find and subscribe to all our tech shows. Thanks for watching Hands on Tech.